Welcome to BioTime, a podcast to help you pass high school biology and understand the science of life. My name is Chris, and I'm your host today. Hey guys, today we will be talking about cell cycle regulation. I love this topic as it is really fascinating how our cells know when to start mitosis, when to go into G1 phase, when to stop dividing. The list goes on, and it's really amazing how our bodies are able to regulate such a complex process. Today we're going to be giving a quick brief on the cell cycle, and then we will get right into discussing checkpoints in the cell cycle, cyclins and cyclin-dependent kinases, maturation-promoting factors, platelet-derived growth factors, and then we're going to touch up on a very important protein called P53. So before I get into how we regulate the cell cycle, it's really important that we have an understanding of what the cell cycle is. The cell cycle is all of the phases that occur when a cell wants to grow and divide. You can really just think of it as the life of a cell. A very general way of summing up the cell cycle is that it's going to grow, and then it's going to replicate genetic material, and then it's going to divide into two new daughter cells. The cell cycle is made up of two main phases. The first is interphase, and the second is mitosis. Interphase is the time when the cell grows and replicates its DNA. And this occurs within three phases, and these three phases occur within interphase. So the first is G1, the second is S, and the third is G2. Something a lot of people make an assumption about is that G, like the letter G in G1 and G2, stands for growth, but that's incorrect. It actually stands for gap. But at the same time, growth is happening during this period. So if you want to think of it as growth, you can. Just make sure you know that it's not actually what it stands for. But enough about that. Let's talk about the specifics in the phases. So G1 is the time when the cell grows physically larger and copies its organelles. The next phase after G1 is the S phase. The S stands for synthesis, and this is quite intuitive as during this phase, the cell is synthesizing or replicating all of its DNA, so it essentially has a second copy of everything. The next phase is the G2 phase, and it is very similar to the G1 phase as the cell just continues to grow. Remember, G1, S, and G2 are collectively known as interphase. And now following interphase, we have mitosis. This is where the division happens, and it's where one cell becomes two. During mitosis, the cell performs something called cytokinesis, which is the process of pinching a cell into two. And after this happens, you have your two new, you don't have two new cells, you have your old cell, and then you have a new daughter cell. So in total, we will now have two cells. And now that we have an understanding of how the cell cycle works, let's dive into the regulatory systems in place that make sure the cell cycle works properly. The cell has many checkpoints, all of which are to ensure that everything is running properly. So for example, let's say that our cell realizes that we have some DNA that was messed up in the replication process. Clearly, we would not want to continue replication as we would likely end up with cancerous cells or non-functioning cells. These cells are first going to call in DNA repairing enzymes to fix the problem, but in the case that the damage is too extensive for an enzyme to repair, the cell will go into something called G0. And before we were talking about G1 and G2, G0 is where a cell goes into something called cellular arrest. And this is when a cell exits the cell cycle and is no longer going to divide. And this is just one example of a possible regulatory thing that could happen within a cell. But what is most important to understand is how do our cells really perform this regulation? And that's what we're going to get into right now. And the most important part of this process is cyclins and cyclin-dependent kinases, which we abbreviate to CDKs, as it's quite long to have to say cyclin-dependent kinases. And this is a very, very important and essential concept, so let's make sure that we get this down. Cyclins get their name from the word cycle because their levels rise and fall during the cell cycle. Cyclins and CDKs, remember CDKs are cyclin-dependent kinases, Cyclins and CDKs work together to help regulate the cell cycle. Cyclins help to control CDKs. When a cyclin is bound to a CDK, we have something called a CDK complex. And this is an activated form. So what happens is that when the cyclin binds to a CDK, it's activated. And conversely, if the CDK does not have a cyclin attached to it, it is deactivated and it's essentially useless. It just doesn't do anything. And the importance of activating the CDK complex is that once we have a cyclin and a CDK bound together and we have a CDK complex, we're able to initiate other proteins and enzymes to do whatever necessary things it is for our cell cycle to proceed. And how the scientists first discovered how these cyclin-dependent kinases worked was through unicellular eukaryotic fungi. And the reason why they chose this was because, you know, first off, they're unicellular, so it's quite simple. And we're looking at fungi, which are also relatively simple. So these unicellular eukaryotic fungi had a cell cycle model that was easy to analyze. And through this, scientists were able to discover how this cyclin and CDK stuff worked. And this has really been a groundbreaking discovery. But enough about that. Let's look into the checkpoints and the application of these CDK complexes. So first off, there are specific cyclins for each cycle. And before we were talking about G1, the G1S, S, M, like all these phases, they each have a cyclin associated with it. So there's a G1 cyclin, there's a G1S cyclin, there's an S cyclin, there's an M cyclin. And as you can see, these cyclins are named after each phase of the cell cycle, so it's quite easy to remember them. And so for example, the G1 cyclin would be used during G1 to allow the cells to proceed past the checkpoint at G1. And to make this more clear, you're gonna understand in our next example. So as we know, there are different types of CDKs, and something important to look into is MPF, and this stands for Maturation Promoting Factor. This was discovered in the 1980s and was a huge, huge breakthrough in biology. Scientists realized that cells need a way to get past the G2 checkpoint and into meiosis. Into mitosis. And it's because, remember earlier when we were talking about going from G1 to S and then to G2 and then to M, this is a very complex process, and it's a very important process, and our cells need to make sure that we're regulating this. As imagine if something goes wrong, we're just going to be having cells that are creating non-functioning cells. It could be cancerous, it could be horrible problems. So that's why we have so many checkpoints established throughout the cell cycle. And one of the checkpoints is to get from G2 into mitosis. But the question is, how do we pass this checkpoint? And the answer lies in cyclins and CDKs. Remember, cyclins and CDKs play such an important role in regulating the cell cycle. So earlier, I mentioned how cyclins, their concentrations, they rise and they fall because, you know, in their name, they're cycling. And right now, we're going to explore that further. CDKs are always in our body. They're not broken down. But cyclins, on the other hand, are broken down, and their concentrations in our body are always changing. And what happens is that during the cell cycle, they're being broken down, or they're being synthesized, or they're being used. And how and when our bodies choose to break them down or synthesize them is how we regulate the cell cycle. So let's first look closely at a situation where a cell wants to get past a G2 phase and into mitosis. Throughout most of the cell cycle, cyclin levels are going to be low. But as the cell cycle gets into the G2 phase, and it's also nearing the start of the M phase, the cell is going to begin to rapidly produce cyclins, and the cell needs these cyclins to activate the CDKs. And once the cyclins attach to the CDKs and create CDK complexes, the cell recognizes this and says, great, let's move into mitosis. But after the cell passes this G2 to M checkpoint, it says, oh, we've already passed it. We no longer need these CDK complexes. So what it does is that I want to deactivate these CDK complexes, so I'm going to break down my cyclins. So as you can see, when we need acyclin, we're going to synthesize it so that just as we need to get past the checkpoint, we've got all these cyclins ready to go to attach these to these CDKs, and these CDKs are going to activate all the proteins and all the necessary things to get past the checkpoint. But once we get past the checkpoint, we don't need these CDK complexes anymore, so the cyclins are broken down. So that's why there is a cycle of rising and falling concentrations of cyclins, and this helps to regulate the cell cycle. And just to be clear, this idea of rising and falling cyclin levels works, it's for all the checkpoints. It's not just the one from G2 to mitosis. It's just that going from G2 to mitosis is just a common example that's used. And if you're still unclear on this concept, search up a graph of the concentration of CDKs and cyclins during the cell cycle. I believe it's a graph made by Khan Academy, and it should help to clear things up if you still have anything that you're unsure about. And the next thing I wanted to quickly touch up on is platelet-derived growth factors. And if you have ever wondered how your body knows or how your body heals a wound, you're about to find out. PDGF stands for platelet-derived growth factors, and these act as an external signal that's going to drive a cell cycle forward. Our bodies have specialized cells called fibroblasts, and on these fibroblasts, there are PDGF receptors. So when a PDGF binds to a fibroblast, it initiates a signal transduction pathway that leads to cells to pass the G1 checkpoint and start this whole cell cycle process and prepare for cellular division. And if we think about it, why would we want to divide cells? Just because there's PDGFs floating around. And this is because PDGFs are not always floating around. They're only created when we have wounds we need to heal. So for example, if we trip and then let's say that I'm going down the stairs and I trip and then I scrape my knee, my body's going to realize, oh my god, I have a cut. So my body is automatically going to produce PDGFs, and then these PDGFs are going to bind to the fibroblast, and then this causes the initiation of the cell cycle to pass the G1 checkpoint, go to S, go to G2, and so on and so forth until I have the division of cells so that I have new cells now. And it really is a fascinating process how our bodies are able to do this. And the final thing I want to touch up on before we do a quick recap and wrap up the episode is on this very, very important protein called P53. And I really did save the best for the last here. P53 is a protein that is so important it's often called the guardian of the genome. P53 is what ensures that our cells stop dividing when damage is found or something goes wrong. And if our cells realize that we have, for example, maybe DNA that was incorrectly synthesized or organelles that were incorrectly grown, the P53 protein will trigger the production of something called a CDK inhibitor. And once these inhibitors are produced, the cell cycle will halt. As remember, CDKs, when cyclins bind to them, they're going to help initiate us and get us past regulatory checkpoints. So that's why if we inhibit these CDKs, the cell cycle is going to halt. And once we've halted this cell cycle, we're first going to send in some enzymes and see, you know, maybe we're able to fix the DNA damage or fix the organelle damage. But if we realize that that the activation of enzymes or proteins isn't going to fix our problem, P53 is going to bring in the last resort, which is it's going to initiate apoptosis. And this is where a cell is killed. And a really interesting thing is that P53 is the single most often mutated genes in cancers. And I hope that this shows you just how important P53 is. As without P53, not only would many of us have cancer right now, we'd probably all be dead. Now that we have discussed the cell cycle, how it's regulated, cyclins and CDKs, MPFs, PDGFs, P53, wow, that's a mouthful. Let's do a quick recap. The cell cycle is the life cycle of a cell and is composed of two main phases, interphase and M phase. Interphase is composed of three mini subphases, which is G1, SNG2. These phases are where the cell grows larger and replicates its DNA. M phase, which is also called mitosis, is where the cell actually does the division and turns into two cells. This is such a complex and important process that our bodies go through, and it's a big part of regulation that needs to be regulated. The most important part of this process is cyclins and cyclin-dependent kinases, which are abbreviated to CDKs. When a cyclin binds to a CDK, they form something called a CDK complex. A CDK complex is able to activate proteins that allow a cell to proceed into the next phase of the cell cycle. A great example of this in action is the maturation promoting factor, which is also called MPF. MPFs are what allow the cell to go from G2 into M phase. And it's so important to remember that cyclins, as in their name, cycle up and down in concentration. Cyclin levels go up when they are needed and go down when they are not needed. And now on to PDGFs. This stands for platelet-derived growth factors. PDGFs are released when our bodies sense that we have received a wound. PDGFs bind to fibroblasts, which lead to the initiation of the cell cycle so that new cells can come in and heal our cuts. Finally, on to P53, which is arguably the most important protein in protecting your genome, which is that P53, when it realizes there is an error that has occurred during the cell cycle, whether it be DNA damage, organelle damage, or really just anything that went wrong, it's going to halt the process to make sure that we do not produce faulty cells, which can lead to diseases or cancer. That wraps it up for this podcast on cell cycle regulation. Thanks for listening, everyone.